That's right. The Drive is live. It's game day. And just to keep you updated, the Texans pregame show will take over. It will take over. We'll be out of here at 4:15. So
let's get it on, baby.
So we got a few hours to really pack it in and get you ready for the pregame show and get you ready for this game coming up tonight. So a big one tonight here as the Texans try to get to 7-2. 6-2 right now, try to get to 7-2 in New York. And as the fellas were saying, you kind of gave it away a little bit. As the fellas were saying, Clint, I've seen from 2.5 to 1.5. They are definitely underdogs on the road to the New York Jets, which I think I hear some people saying, what is that about? What is that about? Like J-Lo is saying, what is that about?
And they say, no.
Nobody was more pissed off about this than J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was on Pat McAfee, and he looked like he was itching to talk about, what the hell?
Come on, J.J.
How the hell are the Texans underdogs to the sorry-ass Jets?
Let's talk about your Houston Texans. Big game tomorrow night against the New York Jets to kick off week 9 of the NFL season. You guys are underdogs, I do believe. In New York, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
You gotta be sh**.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Brother.
You gotta be kidding me.
Brother.
This is, what hell does Vegas know that I don't?
This is what they know. This is what they know. Prime time?
He's back.
Prime time?
Is he gonna be on the Jumbotron?
Didn't see that coming. Could be wrong, but I don't think I am. If I just look at these two squads truthfully right now, obviously I'm slightly biased, but I believe Houston Texans are the better team.
All right, there's JJ, slightly biased. He believed the Texans are the better team. And I think most people believe the Texans are the better team. But that's not always how Vegas works. And I would throw it out to both of you. I know how Tyler feels. You think it's disrespectful to the Texans that they are 2.5-point underdogs? Is that what you got, Tyler? Is that the last thing you saw?
Yes. I believe, at least with my book, it's been holding strong at 2.5.
2.5. You think it's disrespectful? You think it's disrespectful to the Texans of Vegas to make them 2.5-point underdogs to the Jets?
I do not.
You don't think so?
I do not, no. I mean, I Vegas is really into, like, advanced stats.
That's
and all
good.
This kind of stuff.
Whenever you see something like this, it's like, what do they know?
Yeah. I think they know what a ton of people, especially nationally, aren't willing to look at and watch and take into consideration, in my opinion. I don't think it's disrespectful. It is a little bit of a surprise to me that it's – like, I figured that the Texans would have been favored by one or two. But I can definitely understand how they got there.
Yeah. I want to get that a little bit from you, how they got there. Tyler, you pissed? That pisses you off?
No.
That smokes you. You think it's disrespectful?
No, I'm saying I didn't find it necessarily like disrespectful.
Oh, so
But the eyebrows raised. I think the line is very curious, and I'd like to think the Texans are going to win this game and it wouldn't need any points. But, no, I didn't think it was disrespectful, but I think the line is very interesting, curious.
Well, you two know lines better than I do. And I'll say it.
Betting lines.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I don't – no, you may – hey, yeah, y'all may know those other lines better than I do. I've never done it. But listen, I'll say it.
Hurt my nose.
Hell yeah, it's disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful as hell. This is the Houston Texans, who are currently the number 2 seed in the AFC. That's 6-2. The Jets are 2-6 in the 15 seed. There's only 16 teams in the AFC. Only the Titans are below the Jets.
First week without Diggs, though.
Only the Titans are below, again, the Jets when it comes to this. Hell yeah, it's disrespectful that they would have them, I don't care where it's being played, as underdogs. Now, is it wrong? That's a different question. that's a different question. But yes, I think the 2 seed playing the 15 seed in the conference through 8 weeks. It is disrespectful to have him an underdog. Do I understand it? Does it make sense? Yes, it makes sense. Yes, because the reasons that Clint is about to roll through, you can understand. I can understand how they get there. But if you just look at it, damn that. I don't know. I don't know who the 2 seed is right now in the NFC, but if they played the second worst team in the NFC, I don't think they would be underdogs. But to the point you've made there, Clint, I can clearly see what Vegas is thinking and what they're looking at in terms of the matchup. I'll be honest, especially with the Texans' injuries, the matchups here, when you think about the Jets' defensive line versus their offensive line, when you think about the Jets' secondary versus the receivers that the Texans are rolling out there, I think you could get an understanding why Vegas sees this thing being as close as it potentially is and lean towards the Jets at home.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can look at the matchups and you can get to an even playing field pretty quick. Now whether the Jets show up and they play to their ability, if they play at or above their ceiling is another question. Now they may very well quit on the interim head coach, and they may very well quit on each other. I don't know about that, but the reality of it is you can look at Quinnen Williams versus Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green. You can look at McDonald the fourth. I can't remember his damn first name.
Will.
Will McDonald the fourth. I mean, this is a guy that I think he's second or third in the league in sacks right now. He's got more sacks than Will Anderson does. And you can look at him versus this entire offensive line, who I know on paper, boy, people don't want to talk about it now. People don't want to talk about it. They want to talk about, well, their pass protection's been rough, you know, especially that interior offensive line. No, it's been rough all the way across the board. Them two high-paid tackles, they've been rough too. And you got a dude that's in the tops in the league in sacks coming to town. And so you don't have to just stop at Kenyon Green. Let's be honest and be real and look across the board. And I think Vegas does it. I think Vegas looks at the hit rate, the knockdown rate, the quarterback rate, quarterback sack rate of the Texans and says, yeah, the Jets, this is not a good matchup for the Texans. And then you mentioned the wide receivers. The Texans are down their top two wide receivers. Their third and fourth wide, let's say their third and fourth options in this pass game, Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz, have left a lot to be desired this year. And guess what? The Jets got a pretty damn good secondary. And so you look at matchups.
Combined with their pass rush.
Yeah, you look at matchups across the board, and you know, I think it's pretty easy to get to an even game, an even playing field, even though it's in New York. So I don't call it like. Look, here's the thing about the disrespectful part of it is like it's just reality. This team has not played well enough to be a 10-point favorite over somebody.
It's that simple.
A touchdown favorite over somebody. You would think, like to your point, you would think that the second best team in the AFC facing the 15th best team in the AFC
on the road. I would think around 4.5, 5.
Yeah, so a touchdown swing.
Yeah,
I mean, so you think it's a touchdown off, right? Like, which I agree wholeheartedly with you. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Who's the 2 seed in the NFC? That's got to be like, let's see, the Lions are the 1 seed. Washington. So Washington versus the Giants.
Just happened.
What's happening this weekend? They're a 4-point favorite on the road. The Giants and Washington, they're playing this weekend. They're a 4-point favorite on the road, Washington is.
And I would say, I have not watched a ton of Washington, but I would say that Washington's played significantly better than the Texans, particularly on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I think it is, I love it. I absolutely love it because I know the organization will tell you they don't hear it, they don't care, but they hear it and they care. And this is reality, and this is a product of the way that they've played, again, particularly on the offensive side of the football, because the defense has been good. But it's the reality of the situation right now. You're 6-2, you're sitting pretty, but you're not real far from 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15th best team in the AFC.
Texans from the text line, 713-572-4610 from the 5-Hour Energy fan text line. Y'all are talking like the Texans defense can't make it a rough night for Aaron as well, who hasn't been A-Rod of late. No, I think the Texans pass rusher will definitely make it give them problems. I don't think the Jets are better or they're going to blow them out. I don't think that the Jets offense are about to put up 30. I don't think. But there are matchups there too, right? There are matchups there that you could see why Vegas and can look at things where they're like, I wonder how that works. This is the third week of them having Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson playing together with Aaron. We'll see what that looks like. Listen, I would pick. I don't know what I would do. I'll say this. I think the Texans are clearly the better team, especially when healthy. I do think that matchups matter here. For instance, you may disagree. I'm not saying they would beat them. I think the Texans match up really well against the Chiefs. When you think about what the Chiefs struggle with at tackles, and when you think about you know some of the other things the Chiefs struggle with, which is some of their like corners outside of McDuffie, I think that is a recipe for the things when healthy that the Texans do really well. I think the Chiefs are an easier matchup for a team like the Texans than like the Ravens, right? Like I think styles make fights. I think this Jets, what the Jets can do well, especially with an injured Texans team, but what the Jets can do well, I think can give the Texans potential problems. Potential, because we've seen other teams be able to hold the Texans down when they've had Steph Diggs, Nico Collins, all of them, right, to hold them down. And that, to me, is just where that rolls through. People rolling here, they're on the text line is, reality is the right word. The offense has not dominated no matter who is on the roster. Our offense is not good, but our defense is excellent. Agree with that. I agree. I wouldn't say the offense is not good. I think the offense has struggled and not played up to where they
the where offense has struggled mightily, and Vegas is going to look at every advanced stat and take everything into consideration. And the reality of it is, we want to talk about Kenyon Green around here, and in reality, ain't none of them been worth a damn. If we're being completely honest, and Quinnen Williams and Will McDonald IV and what they bring to the table in their defensive front, I don't know. Be honest with you, I don't know that the Texans have seen a defense with this high of a ceiling. I know they hadn't seen one higher, but maybe you know. And I'm not saying they played great. I'm just saying this high, these guys could come in here and be a top five defense. I know they've seen some pretty good defenses this year. I think what Minnesota's is pretty good. Chicago's is pretty good. Who's that? Who else? What other defense have they seen this year?
Green Bay's is pretty good.
But this defense could on any given Sunday show up and be just as good, if not better.
That's the thing is they are what did my man say Damian Woody? The Jets are a roster. They ain't no team. They are a roster of players that come together. And to the point you're making is if they feel right, they've got a talented group of dudes that can step in. But usually they don't. They don't play to that level. So a lot to get to as we continue here on the drive to get you ready for the Texans and the Jets. I do want to get to potential advantages I think the Texans do have in this game. But I do want to express this real quick. Happy Halloween to everybody. Tyler, don't eat too much candy. Clint, don't eat too much candy. I know you've been working well.
I got a sweet tooth, man.
Not a big candy guy, especially when I'm dialed in. I'm dialed in.
I'm gonna tell you this. I've made the decision, and Courtney has agreed. We are no longer giving out candy.
What?
We're done.
It's a foundation of Halloween.
We're turning the light off. And we're no longer giving them candy.
Or going the opposite of Motel 6.
Well, yeah. No, we're not. No, listen, we still have young kids. Like Clint will be out there motoring around with his young kids. Dress Laney warm. But we set up our bowl at the house.
Yeah.
And if you remember the last 2 years.
We do not, but go ahead.
The last 2 years, Courtney's childhood trick-or-treat bucket was stolen. We could see him on the ring camera last year. They within 15 minutes two kids dumped the whole candy thing in, and then the thing that really pissed me off, just threw my bowl in the grass. So we walked up, seen it in the grass. That's 2 years for me. I'm done.
I don't blame you.
I'm done. It's not that I don't want to give it to the kids until like our kids are old enough where they can go out and we trust and they go out. We're chilling at the house. We're passing out candy. Then maybe if I'm at the house, I'll do it. But no more. I'm done.
Done with them punk ass.
I'm done. A couple of bad apples have ruined it.
I think you should put a sign in the yard this year.
Sign saying why?
Leave your lights on. Put a sign in the front door and say, "Hey, we are really good people here. You can thank the sorry POSs that are running around here amongst all you nice good kiddos that steal candy and steal buckets for the reason that this house is not giving out candy."
That's it. Yeah, I like that. A good stern sign that shows it.
Hey, I wish you'd have got them on camera. You could post their picture on there. Hey, if you guys are looking for candy this year, ask these two jacklegs. They took it all last year.
Yes.
They should have plenty left over.
You just can't make out who these kids are on that ring camera. I want too bad.
That's the equivalent of putting your name in the raffle multiple times.
It's the bowl that was strung out in the middle of, strung out in the middle of my grass, which I had to go back around over them bushes to go get. That's the one that pissed me off, and I know it pissed Courtney off. They took her childhood. That one.
You know, if Courtney's agreed to it at this point, something touched her.
That one done her in. Yeah, no, I'm done, man. I'm done. So, good luck. Hopefully, you all aren't doing it. That is, someone text in, "You're dumb as hell to leave a bowl of candy outside around these badass kids. Hello, that's your fault." Okay, I've cleaned it up. As George Bush said,
you learn the hard way.
You get me once.
Fool me once.
And you get it. Just say you ain't going to fool me a second time. All right? I tried to be nice. I wanted the kids to have it. And then I'm like, nah, man.
Now watch this draft.
We out. All right, coming up, Texans-Jets tonight. There are some potential issues for the Texans in this game against the Jets, but there are some advantages they have. What for you are those advantages? What is the biggest advantage you think the Texans have tonight against the Jets? We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Happy Halloween to you good folks out there. We appreciate you joining us here on The Drive as it is game day. The Texans are going to look to try to get to 7-2 against the New York Jets on the road. And look, the Texans have some injury issues and some offensive line issues, but they are 7-2. And the Jets, as we did say, have the second worst record in the AFC.
When I came out of the darkness.
Yes, that one. They have struggled big time this season. And there are some spots there, Clint. There are some spots in which the Texans do have an advantage, some advantages. And I see some people texting in, as we said, what are the things that can really help and the Texans can do to take advantage of for them to find themselves getting their seventh W? If you had to look at a couple of the things, Clint, for you that stand out to you were tonight, listen, the Texans actually have an advantage in this game that you think that they can, if they win the game, what they can take advantage of.
Yeah, I think for me it starts with the defensive ends for the Houston Texans. Clearly, I love Breece Hall, and you can argue that they ought to feature him a little bit more. But at the end of the day, they're bringing in Devontae Adams. They got Garrett Wilson. They bring in Aaron Rodgers and pay him a bunch of money. There's no doubt about it that this football team is going to go as Aaron Rodgers goes, and I think this year the Texans team has gone as this defense goes. And I believe you got to start. If you're talking about mismatches, if you're talking about advantages, I think you got to look at the Texans' ability to pressure Aaron Rodgers. And if you can get there and not let him get comfortable with Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, I think he's going to get you. I think those guys are all just too good. At some point in time, they're going to get you. But if you can keep him off rhythm, if you can find a way to even bang him up a little bit, because he's been banged up two different times this year, maybe even three times this year, then you can really get him off of his game. So I think advantage number one for the Houston Texans is the pass rush, and more specifically, these two defensive ends versus their tackles.
Yeah, they can't just block them straight up. Like, they're going to have to do some things. They're going to have to get some help. And because I don't think their tackles are going to be able to handle what Will and what even Barnett when he comes in, but Will and Danielle Hunter, the way those two are playing, especially. Hopefully this is a game where Denico Autry jumps in as well. I know you feel like this here, and this is a big place that the Texans need to do, and the Jets have not stopped the run well at all this year, especially here of late, especially since Robert Saleh was fired. The Jets have not stopped the run well. Joe Mixon, when he's been in the game, he rushes for 100 yards, unless he gets hurt against the Bears. That's flatly what it's been. This is a game where Joe Mixon, based off what the Jets' run defense have done over the past several weeks, this is a game in which Joe Mixon should be able to eat. Joe
Bad
Mixon
MF-er.
Should be able to, what is it, Tyler, be his fourth straight 100-yard game if he were able to do that?
Yes, which I believe would be the first time in Texan team history.
This really?
Or tied, maybe.
More to your preseason point. That would help more to your preseason point. Your preseason point, I still don't agree with you yet.
That's fine.
On that, on Arian Foster. But
clearly, no, not many do.
But that's another place where, hey, the Texans, that's a place they can take advantage of. And if they win tonight, that I would be shocked if it doesn't say Joe Mixon had a big night.
Yeah, look, I agree. Defensively, the ends got to get home. The pass rush has to get home and constantly get home. And then offensively, you got to run the football. Whether you look at the matchup that Ron just talked about, or you look at the fact that your quarterback's been sacked and knocked down more than 28 other or 27 other quarterbacks in the NFL, and the strength of this team or the weakness of this defensive team is stopping the run so far anyway. So it only makes sense to feature Joe Mixon more right now. Nico out, Steph Diggs out, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, rough slow start to the year. Let's put it nicely. It is game day. So yeah, I mean,
I mean,
you've got more guys. There is no reason, even though I don't think there was a reason last week, but there is no reason this week not to feature the hell out of Joe Mixon, and which will protect your quarterback, which you would think would protect Kenyon Green a bit, your weak spot on your offensive line. So I think it's in all parties' interest, all Texans' party interest, to run the football and feature Joe Mixon. So I agree with you. There's a bit of an advantage there.
For me, Clint, I think the number one advantage that the Texans have in this game to me is just the culture and toughness walking into the game.
Okay.
I think the Jets are, as I said, Damian Woody said, they are a roster and not a team. They are a team that can absolutely fall apart if things don't go well early. Something bad happens. They're a team that just starts looking around. They don't play for each other. They don't play Aaron. They are a team that is a shut it down team. They're 2-6.
You're gonna get hit hard if you play against us.
I'm telling you, and you're gonna get hit hard if you play against the Texans. And the Texans, the culture that D'Amico and company have built, the toughness that they've built, the way that they are comfortable right now playing in tight games and make the, and you can clearly see against teams that are better coached and have better cultures than the Jets that they take advantage of. That to me is the biggest issue. The Texans walk into the game like playing for each other, loving to play with each other, or a team that have a mission that involves something together, and that they are able to fight through injuries and things like that, where the Jets can be completely healthy and they're teetering. They're on the edge of just completely falling apart in any part of the game. And I think that's the biggest advantage the Texans have is their culture and toughness.
Well, Ron, I think you don't have to look any further than after Devontae Adams' first game with the Jets. I mean, he calls the team up afterwards, which many had a problem with a guy like that first game back. I don't personally, but, you know, and his message was, we got guys out here with 60-yard runs, and nobody cheers, nobody cares, nobody supports him, nobody, there's no energy, there's no juice from it.
And he came from the Raiders.
Right, right. And that's the exact, where I'm going with that is if you flip the side of the field, that is exactly one of the things that drives the Houston Texans is like you talked about, just the love and joy and support and energy and juice that the entire sideline provides to those that are on the field. That is a real advantage. It's a tangible advantage and it's real.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing tonight is unless something happens, I will never believe the Texans are out of the game. Yeah. I think you'll be able to see, you could see self-destruction with the Jets potentially coming. All right, some big news from one of the cornerstones of this team. We'll let you know the latest with that. And somebody just texted in, hey, did I miss y'all's Mad Dog picks for this week? No, baby, that's coming up next. As we are out early at 4:15, Mad Dog picks and some big news for one of the young cornerstones on this team. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it's game day. As I said, we are out a little bit early. As the fellas will take over with the pregame show, as the Texans look to get to 7-0
or 7-2,
excuse me, on the season. Someone texted in and said they saw me this Friday in valet, in line at a valet. Said they were going to come and say,
"You pay for valet?"
Well, I didn't that day. It was complimentary with the restaurant that we went to. It was a Saturday, but I would.
That's perfect.
Did you tip him on the way out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you had to think about that. Yeah, so, I mean, you paid for it.
I did. I tipped him. But he said he was too high to come up and say he listened.
Too high?
You're not too high, man. You could have come on up.
Must not come be a regular up. User.
I mean, you're so high, that had to be Friday. I mean, that had to be Saturday, not Friday. That's how high you
were. You don't remember what day it was.
It had to be Saturday, because Friday I didn't go nowhere.
It's sticky, icky, icky.
Friday I was chilling. Saturday night, Mom was in town, and a little built-in babysitter.
Took advantage of it, didn't you?
Out in Montrose. So, yeah. So, shout out. Yeah, you're out there. Even if you're a little touched, come on up.
Is that my boy, Ron?
Say what's up. Say hello. Shout out to my man, Cody, today at Juice Well. Said he came up to this. Hey, Ron? Hey, how you doing? Guessing the blonde hair maybe tipped him off, Ron.
That is correct.
We appreciate you, Big Cody. Cody's fired up about tonight's game. He talked to me about it. He said, "What do you think, Cody?" Cody looked like he had a tinge of nervousness in his eyes.
I'll be a little honest. Anxious.
Yeah, he's a little nervous about this game.
Mix is all nervous.
But one thing that he shouldn't be nervous about, and nobody should be nervous about, and we knew he had been playing well and had the huge game against the Patriots, but your defensive player of the month is none other than the reigning defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson Jr. He wins defensive player of the month. I remember last year, Derek Stingley Jr. won that award towards the end of the year. But Will Anderson Jr. is the defensive player of the month. And he has been really, really good here in the month of October. And Clint, he's got 7.5 sacks, which matches his full season last year. Remember last year, Will got off to a slow start. I mean, we're sitting there with like one sack or so within the first like 8 or 9 weeks. This year, you can see virtually in almost every game, Clint, he has done at least something. You know, not just setting the edge in the run game, but something in the pass game where he has affected something. He got Anthony Richardson on a chase down behind him and sacked him. He has been, as I said earlier this week, this team's best defensive player. And congratulations to Will Anderson Jr., defensive player of the month in the AFC.
Yeah, well deserved. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has put it out there, man. I mean, in the month of October, you're talking about a guy that had 5 sacks. And within that had, I mean, a ton of plays that are just your defensive ends, your everyday defensive ends don't make. I mean, he's just all over the place. I mean, making plays again that jump off the screen that remind you of some of the elite edge rushers in this game. And he had a hell of a month. There's no doubt about it. And it's obviously headlined by a 3-sack day against the New England Patriots, which if you watch that game, he could have had 4 or 5 sacks in that game. So, yeah, man, big week by Will Anderson, big month by Will Anderson. And hopefully he keeps this thing rolling. He's on pace, 15, 16 sacks this year, man.
Yeah, like you said, a week is different than a month. Month is you're showing consistency throughout. There ain't no bye week in there. He's played all the games here, and we'll see what he does on the final day of the month tonight. They'll need Will Anderson to step up big time. By the way, Will Anderson was your Mad Dog pick last week.
Mm-hmm.
Had him a nice game. Kept you out of having to buy the Mad Dog. We're going to do it today. We usually do our Mad Dog Monday picks on Friday. By the way, can we get this understanding? Are we drinking Mad Dog tomorrow, or are we drinking Mad Dog on Monday if the Texans win?
I feel like it should be tomorrow.
At Home Run Dugout? By the way, that's where we'll be tomorrow. Come hang out with us.
I don't know if we can carry that in there.
Oh, hell. Oh, that's a good point.
No, good point, my ass. We've drunk on the road.
No, I don't know if you can legally carry it. Like, I don't know if they'll let you carry alcohol in there.
Outside alcohol,
alcohol inside.
Again, as I said, we've celebrated Mad Dog Mondays at Little Woodrow, I believe, and I know I brought in 2 bottles.
Oh, okay.
But to your point, maybe we should wait.
No, it's all right. Hell, let's do it, man. Legal, I'm game. Legal. I mean, all I can do is tell us to leave.
Hold
on, so
I remember we were sitting in the back of Little Woodrow's for an Astros game, and We tilted them back. Had a couple of them. I remember bringing them in my backpack.
Didn't even think about it, man. Ask for forgiveness, not permission, baby. Let's ride.
All right, Clint. To go down to it, you got a few more than anybody that can't. You cannot use. Well, damn it. As you said, you worked that Stephon Diggs thing pretty well. You got
Ron. You didn't get your money's worth out of Diggs.
Yeah, I was saving him. I was saving
Steph Diggs. That's the danger.
That's the danger. Yeah, anybody can get hurt. But you are out of Steph Diggs and Tank Dell. We have everybody available. Tyler, you lost last week. Who is your Mad Dog player pick this week?
Well, I'm going to take a fella for the second time, so I will not be able to select him any longer. Go with Tank Dell. Go with the Coug. Let's go, Tank. This is the week. I feel it down in my plums. Tank Dell is going to finally at least resemble what we saw last season during that rookie campaign. I'm going with Tank Dell, boys.
Hey, they need him. He got me a touchdown last week in the back of the end zone. But, yeah, they need more than, I believe, 4 for 35, even if that was a touchdown. He should get he should hopefully get some targets and be the guy out there. He does have Sauce Gardner potentially on him. Reed's not bad on the other side. Be interested to see if the Jets feel the need to travel Sauce Gardner with him. We'll see what happens there. But they damn sure need, especially tonight with the receivers they have out there, they damn sure need Tank to show up and not Nathaniel. Nathaniel keeps showing up every week. I'd like for Tank to get on out there.
That'd be nice.
Who's your Mad Dog pick this week?
Oh man,
I'm a sneaky one. So
I'm gonna go with Dalton Schultz. I mean, if Dalton Schultz is ever gonna have a breakout game, boy, if it's ever needed, it's this week. So I'm gonna ride with Dalton Schultz, the old tight end, and see if he can't show up a little bit and have him a day.
Dalton Schultz. So you got Dalton Schultz. You're going with Tank Dell. I got a sneaky one. Looking at the injuries, looking at the third down situation, and this player has made some big plays throughout the season. I'm gonna go with Dare Ogunbowale.
I'm trying to decide if I'm putting him in my fantasy lineup.
He makes it, man. He makes it so obvious.
Obliago
makes what so obvious? I like Dare in the backfield, coming out of the backfield.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that's probably gonna get 4 carries.
I mean,
you just picked a guy that's going to get 4 carries.
No, I did not pick a guy that's going to get 4 carries. Obliago. I think he's going to be involved in the passing game a lot. Go look at some of these games, especially when Pierce or Mixon have been out, how much he has been used and how critical he has been. He has picked up 4 third downs He's picked up what he picked up.
You're not going to win Mad Dog Monday by picking up first downs, Ron.
Not.
I hate to break it. I hate to break it.
What if I told you?
I mean, he can go out there and have three third down runs or catches that are first downs, and you're not winning this.
I'm not. Okay, we'll see. Let's go look at some of Dalton Schultz's lines. All right,
I bet you. But I said Dalton Schultz has got to have a monster game. You're talking about a backup running back. Did he have a carry last week?
I'm talking about this is a different week. All right, this is a different week.
You're right.
This is a different week.
Old bad groin Pierce is out.
He had another back in front of him. No,
he makes it obvious. Tyler.
He ain't making nothing obvious.
Obliago.
This is the I don't feel good about the matchup.
So I'm a burn one
off. No, burn one. That's right. That's exactly what it is.
I could burn one off. I could have said Cade Stover.
You remember the Danico Autry pick against Green Bay?
Mm-hmm.
I did not pick Danico Autry against Green Bay.
You sure?
Did I?
I mean, there's only been, you didn't pick him last week, so it's only been back 2 weeks.
I feel good about it. That was going to be a defensive game. I love Dare, baby. Put me down. I bet you. Mark it. Dare has a big game. Maybe not a big game, but a game.
Medium-sized game.
You won't look at me thinking, oh, boy, he's crazy. I'm telling you, third downs. Watch. Third downs. Them dump-offs. So he's going to be going to. He's going to have pressure. Bam, he's dumping them off. I love it. I love that pick, damn it. Makes it so
Obliago.
I love it. All right, coming up. We got to look at a place where this part of the field, the Texans damn sure need them to step up. They need big, big play out of this part of the field if they are going to get their seventh win tonight in New York. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Not going to have the Mad Dog tomorrow at Home Run Dugout.
We may do it in the parking lot. What do you think?
Parking lot or Monday?
I mean, I probably drank more Mad Dog in parking lots than I did houses anyway.
I mean, hey. Do you think we lead, of all four shows that are here, Catch Payne and Pendergast in the morning, In the Loop, with Reggie and the OG and Figgy, Payne and Pendergast, Ben doing it as well on the ones and twos, us, and then Area 45 with Bajani, Creighton, and Chris Santiago. Do you think we lead the station in the boss had to come in between segments?
100%. Without a doubt.
To talk down something we've said or we've come up with.
Yes.
You think we lead it?
Yes.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
But do you think we lead it because our timing of the show is here when he is always here, or do you think we just lead it?
I think we just lead it.
I think there's probably a few reasons. I think them nighttime guys probably push the envelope a little bit too, but it's nighttime, so they can get away with it. He probably encourages it there.
Yeah.
I think there's certain topics that we hit, and Mad Dog Monday is probably one of them on a weekly basis that boss man cringes a bit.
He gave us that.
Just get through it, boys.
Let's not. I would request that we don't take any of the Mad Dog to Home Run Dugout tomorrow. By the way, my man Sean on YouTube and Twitch asks, Home Run Dugout and Katie tomorrow? Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's where we will be, 2-6. Hopefully celebrating and talking about a Texans win as they move to 7-2. And Clint, to me, I'm looking at this dude tomorrow or tonight. And I don't know exactly how we're going to be talking about this dude. I do think he is going to be involved in this game one way or another. I could see it going either way. And that dude I'm talking about that I got my eye on, the guy I'm looking at, I'm challenging, I'm calling out, is Derek Stingley Jr. I know a couple of weeks ago, Clint, his stock was down for you. And last week, again, and I'll be honest, this is something that has occurred for him several times this year where he has just been fortunate that receivers and quarterbacks have not been able to connect on plays that would be big plays that have gotten away from him. A.D. Mitchell, who I thought was going to run his helmet and throw it into the stands on multiple occasions as he beat him on just outside routes, on fade routes to the outside, and Anthony Richardson couldn't connect. Well, that is one of Aaron Rodgers, if not Aaron Rodgers' favorite throw. Doesn't need a lot of protection for that. and he loves to put it up. And him and Davante Adams have perfected it, and him and Garrett Wilson do it too. They connected multiple times last week against the Patriots. But Derek Stingley has some of the best ball skills of any corner in the league. And you could see, Clint, Aaron Rodgers throwing those up and Derek Stingley coming down with some picks. We've seen him do it. We saw him do it against Chicago with Caleb Williams. We've seen him do it in his time here. But which Derek Stingley are we going to be talking about, or you and Sean going to be talking about after the game, and we're going to be talking about at Home Run Dugout? Is it the Derek Stingley, the good Derek Stingley, the Derek Stingley that you throw a ball near him, he picks it off? Or are we going to be looking at, damn, all right, he got beat, and we've seen him kind of get beat a few times, and this is another example of him getting beat by Aaron Rodgers? Because Aaron is as rough as he's been this year. That particular route, Glenn, as you know, that like they that's one, as you would say, he could throw in his sleep.
Yeah.
And not miss as many times as Anthony Richardson has or others have missed. So Derek Stingley is one that I'm really watching, because I think he's going to be heavily involved in this game one way or another.
Yeah, look, I think when you look at the Minnesota,
I'm literally looking up at the TV and I'm seeing
Aaron doing
the same route. Exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just three in a row they have just shown.
Well, I mean, look, you look at the Minnesota game, you look at the Green Bay game, and then the Jets game. I think those are the three games this year, and I may be leaving one off, but look, those are the three games where you got a quarterback that can make it happen. And you got a wide receiver group that's dangerous, that's potent, that can be really, really, really good. Not just, well, this guy's a pretty good player. No, you got a quarterback that's going to take the risk. You got a quarterback that can make all the throws, and you got receivers that can absolutely do work out there. And it's the playing soft the entire game and letting them throw the ball underneath. Aaron's going to do that, right? I don't know that we've seen. Have we seen a team this year that just from a nickel and dime standpoint of just taking that quick stuff, the now throws, the slants, the underneath stuff?
I mean, the Packers.
The Packers do it, but they were, the defense was able to disrupt him, it seemed like, turn the football over. And Aaron very well may do that as well.
But the slants and stuff were there, especially for the Packers.
Yeah, I don't think that Stingley's going to be able to just sit back, and Kamari Lassiter, for that matter, is going to be able to just sit back and survive, because I think Aaron and this group are gonna take advantage of that and force them to come up and press or play cover too. I think this is a game for Derek Stingley to shine. I think this is a game where he's really gonna get challenged.
Yes.
And it's a game for him to get up in somebody's face and not just give. I'm gonna tell you
that's what I was gonna say. He is going to get challenged. There are gonna be multiple fade routes, and I'm sure he is ready for it. And like I said, you could see it going either way. I could see him getting multiple picks on those plays, or you could see him getting beat.
Yeah, look, I just want to see it. You know, the whole, like, for whatever reason, I can't get to Green Bay. The last defensive possession when Green Bay went down and kicked the field goal, I just
playing soft.
I can't get that out of my head of Derek Stingley. Four straight plays, they went to his side of the field, and four straight plays, him being soft. Two of which they went to literally the receiver he was on.
We're saying soft coverage.
Soft coverage, yes. And the other two, they went underneath. Because he was so soft, he allowed the read was blatantly obvious to the quarterback. I mean, it's like it can't be that easy when they choose to work to the side of Derek Stingley. It just simply can't. And this is one of those teams where you can't afford to do it. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that the Texans have played and will play that you can afford to get away with that stuff because they're, for whatever reason, them or the offense is not capable of taking advantage of it. This isn't one of them. This is one where they're going to take advantage of all the underneath stuff until you come up and press, and then they're going to take their shots down the field. Then they're going to take their whole shots versus cover two on the sideline. Then they're going to take their little corner routes, their inside fade routes. They're going to do those things. But first, they're going to take advantage of soft coverage. He's not going to stand back there. Because
he's going to get pressured. And
he's going to eliminate the pressure if you're going to give him soft coverage. He's going to get the ball out immediately. And so he's going to force the safety, the corners up, and when that happens, they're going to take them shots. Do the corners come up before that? Do the corners come up and challenge before that, make him hold the football and the pass rush gets there? Or do they force him and allow him early on to get into rhythm because he's taking that underneath stuff? We'll see. The key is here, this is a quarterback and a receiving group that will absolutely take that right now throw until you take it away from him.
Yeah, that's what, like I said, you could see it going either way. of how this thing rolls through.
But your point, Ron, of like Derek, to me, let's think about this, man.
I'm just saying they've seen it on tape. Look,
when you want to talk about difference making players this year, on the offense and the defensive side of the football. I mean, sure, Tank has been a little disappointed. You're talking about your third best receiver. Dalton Schultz has been disappointed. You're talking about your third, third best, even on a good year, with this group, your third best pass catcher, right? I mean, you're talking about depth guys at this point in time in terms of like rankings of pass catchers on the offense. Derek Stingley's a top five, top six impact player on this football team, and it's time that he shows it. He's going to be challenged.
He's going to have the opportunities.
Your overall point of calling out Derek Stingley and saying, hey, this is a game where he's got to show up, I couldn't agree more. And, hell, he may be at the top of that list of guys that, sure, they've been good, but has he been great? Has he made a handful of game-changing type plays? This is a game when he's got to go make one.
Yeah. As Ocho says, Rodgers might not be what he once was, but he's still good enough to hit open receivers. These lesser quarterbacks that the Texans have faced couldn't. If the thought is, yes, as you said, as Ocho said, Aaron has struggled and not played to the level that he has played in his MVP years. But if guys are streaking in the middle of the field and streaking open, which we've seen this year, I think the thought that he may not connect the way that Trevor Lawrence hasn't, the way that Anthony Richardson didn't last week, hell, the way Josh Allen didn't when he had open guys running down, I wouldn't want to take a chance with that. And you brought this other player up too, Clinton. I believe Derek Stingley is going to get challenged and tested this week. I think this may be the week that Kamari Lassiter gets tested too. And that is one where we've talked about it. It's been kind of surprising, even when he's been in the game, that teams haven't just tested that out and gone that way. And this is a quarterback and receivers. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, we start to see a situation where Adams keeps going to the left side of the formation, where it is him against Kamari Lassiter. Damn sure he is going to be challenged. Now, Kamari's up to it. I mean, he's probably getting himself psyched up about it. I mean, currently somewhere losing his mind about it. But I would say, Clint, I don't think Kamari Lassiter has been tested a ton.
Yeah.
And I think this is a game on both sides. I think he's going to go outside and test both of these corners. And this will be one to really see where Kamari Lassiter is, because his impact has been big. We clearly saw a difference from when he was out and when he's in from the guys behind him. But this is a week that I think he'll have to go and make some plays.
To me, it's what we're going to find out about Kamari Lassiter. I would have loved for him to be healthy against the Green Bay Packers to see kind of how he fared there. So we'd know a little bit more about him. And this is one of those games where, you can talk about being in the right place at the right time and, being a dog and being physical and that kind of stuff. And that's great. But when you face the better receiving corps, the better quarterback, how do you stack up against those guys? And the truth of the matter is, we haven't seen that combination versus the Texans but a couple of times this year, one of which Kamari Lassiter was out and injured. So the more we can see him against guys like Davante Adams and guys like Garrett Wilson and with Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball, the more we're going to find out about him. Like you said, I think he's been great. He's been a lot better than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be a slot corner. So he's been tremendous, relatively speaking. We'll see how he fares against a better quarterback and a better wide receiver.
I'm excited to see these guys. Clint, I think we see every bit of 10 fades tonight. Just because, to me, as we said,
you're probably right.
Because it's something that you can get off quickly, because I do think Hunter and Will Anderson are going to be pressuring, and the blitz packages are going to be pressuring, and that is going to get to Aaron. And we can see a lot of one-on-one stuff on the outside between those two corners. And I cannot wait to see how they reacted. As you said, I think you said it just now. Like we'll have to learn. We'll be able to learn to see exactly what these guys have. Text line coming through. The 5 hour energy fan line. Text line coming through. Y'all talking about Sting. Meanwhile, Sauce hasn't been an all pro on the other side. Can we talk about the areas we can exploit and how we can actually win the game? We did in the second segment, but they could. Sauce has not been himself. Now Sauce is probably dealing with a little different receiver situation than what Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter is dealing with. But
here's the deal. I mean, if you're listening to tell us what the hell to talk about. The conversation that we just had about Derek, like you can hear that however you'd like to hear it. The one way to hear that is that if Derek Stingley plays up to Derek Stingley's capabilities, then it can help us win a ball game. I mean, it's having a conversation about Derek Stingley Jr. and about as it pertains to winning is if he goes out there and does his thing. Then the Texans gonna have a really damn good chance of winning and continue to play great defense. It's a different challenge this week.
Yeah, and big boy thauts here. To be honest with you, like Sauce Gardner doesn't have a damn thing to do with what we're talking with the Derek Stingley situation, right? Yeah, they can exploit Sauce. Yeah, but we're talking about Derek Stingley, right? I would say that this week, because of the situation, Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter's covers, and there is more difficult, more of a challenge than what the Jets secondary is going to have to deal with. Yeah, I mean, if Kamari Lassiter was having to shut down Robert Woods types and Xavier Hutchinson types, that's a different ball game. This to me, I think you could argue, Clint, this could be the biggest challenge these corners have had to look at, even though the Jets are 2-6, but just specifically the receivers they have with the quarterback they have and the routes that they like to run. And what you said earlier, the fearlessness of Aaron Rodgers to repeatedly throw these routes. Yep. I think there's an argument that this could be the biggest challenge that these two corners have had to deal with.
It's that simple.
That or the Packers of what they've had to deal with. So, but a big opportunity for both, and two guys that I'm gonna be absolutely watching to see if they can hold up and really make an impact, because they could. The negative is, you know, they could get beat, but the positive is, like, there could be interceptions and turnovers had. We've seen Aaron turn the ball over on these things. There could be those out there to be had to change the game. All right, coming up, not only do we got Tyler's best bets. Moving it up a little bit because, hey, he did all right last night. And by the way, I was a bit on the heater last night with Aaron Judge. I just want to say that I could have made some real.
You called
money.
It. Yep.
I could have made some. I mean, first at bat, baby. I mean, I was already in it. I told you he was swinging the bat better. Now, I didn't say that about him being able to catch. But I told you he was swinging the bat better. But Tyler's best bets. A lot to do with this game tonight. That's coming up next on The Drive.
You're getting me football horny, as Clint would say.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I know what gets Tyler football horny, and that's just the feel of gambling. The feel of placing bets. The thought of, how can I win this money?
Six to midnight.
How can I get it done? Best bets. Moving it up today. Doing a little best bets. You want to make a little money? As I see some people throughout the day on the 5 hour energy fan text line texting in. Tyler doing best bets today? You going to make some money?
Hell yeah.
How you do last night, Tyler?
Not great. Went 50%, 3-for-6 on last night's best bets.
That's not bad.
So dip down now to 55% success on the week, which is slightly below that 60% threshold we aim for, you know?
Got that LeBron one with ease last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you that one. That felt good. All right. A big game tonight, obviously, here, Thursday Night Football, and that includes the Houston Texans at the New York Jets. And I'm going to assume that, Tyler, you have a few best bets that are involved in this game. So let's hear it. By the way, first, can we start this off? Do you have room for Clint? Because you know he is going to want to get in on something.
I really don't. I tapped out on all these best bets I'm about to give you.
Is there a way that you can introduce Clint to your guy?
Yeah.
Maybe we just cut out the middle, man.
I mean, it's not a problem. It's all these damn futures I have.
Tyler, it's clear.
It's not a problem for you.
It's a problem. When is how many? I think it's all week as we're sitting here on Thursday. I think every day.
No.
I'm certain every day this week, Clint has liked something. And now he's 0-for-4 on chances to be able to jump in.
Sorry, man.
Tell him I ain't got it.
If I would have went 4 or 5 for 6 last night instead of 3 for 6, man, I had a little room.
Yeah, I know it. That's why I just think you need to introduce him to your guy. All right, what are your best bets tonight?
Yeah, I got a full slate for you for these Texans in Jersey taking on the Jets this evening. And if you didn't know, you will now. You can catch all the coverage for that right here on Sports Radio 610 starting around 4:30-ish today. Best bets for Texans at Jets. I'm going to list them off to you. Then Ron and Clint are going to tell you which ones they like or they don't. Texans +2.5. Been talking about this a lot. I know all of our shows have. In the Lou Payne and Pendergast right here on the drive.
You like that one, huh?
This spread is interesting. It's curious. You wouldn't think this crappy-ass Jets team, who is fresh off a loss to the very lowly New England Patriots, you wouldn't think they'd be favored, but they are slightly 2.5. So I'm taking Texans +2.5. I'm taking the over in this game, over 42. I'm taking the Texans team over 0.5 in the first quarter. They just got to get a field goal, and that one would hit for you. And then I got some player props for you here. I got Stroud. I have made a lot of money this year on this bet. Stroud over rushing yards. This game, it is at 8.5. Stroud gets loose out of the pocket. He's getting chased. He can get that in one play, people. Lock that one in. Stroud over 8.5 rushing yards. Mixon rushing yards as well. Over 82.5 rushing yards for Joe Mixon. Then I got a Jet prop here for you. He's really good. I've enjoyed watching him play in a few games this year, but Breece Hall for the Jets, I am on his under 30.5 receiving yards. 30.5 under for that for me. And then last one here, another Texan for you. The guy who I picked as my Mad Dog player this week, the Coug, Tank Dell. I am on the over for receptions. That is set at 4.5.
I got a lot of
what
thoughts.
What you think, boys? Give me all them thoughts. Let's win some money.
I got a lot of thoughts at this point.
Do you?
That sounds
good. Well, let's hear them. I got one.
A couple of years. The Stroud rush yard. Like I you tell me if I'm wrong. You're the quarterback here. When they're heating him up and they're sending a lot of linebackers and pressures, and because of C.J. Stroud, they ain't got no spies on him. This, to me, is something that I've wondered, is this one of the answers to some of this pressure, is him stepping up and getting out? Is him using his legs? Because if they're sending pressure, the odds are most of the time they're probably in man and people are turned around running away from them.
Yeah.
Is this, because we've seen as Tyler's just said, he has made some money on his rush yard bets. I do wonder, is this a potential answer for some of this pressure, especially they're sending linebackers, if he could get out and hurt him running the football a little bit?
Well, he definitely can and might, but the problem is most of the pressure that C.J. Stroud is getting is immediate pressure up the middle. Now, he's got this year, let's be honest, it's come from all over, but the pressure of late, the pressure that really disrupts him and pushes him from the pocket is the inside pressure. So the push up in the pocket and just take off straight ahead for 10, 12 yards or 4, 5, 6 yards a couple of times, that's just not happening for CJ. CJ's having to get outside the pocket and belling either right or left, back first and then right or left.
God bless, brother.
And so he's going 10, 12 yards back to then go forward. So I think it's a bit of a gamble, which is best bets. It's what it is.
I see what you did there.
There you go. It's a bit of a gamble given the O-line protection. But yeah, Ron, I mean, bringing pressure like that, they're damn sure not going to be spying him.
Yeah.
Bringing pressure like that, if he can slip up and hit a crease up the middle, hell, he can go for a long ways. But boy, that's a slow death.
Yeah. It's just one of the ways where he can potentially hurt heard people. By the way, the Breece Hall thing, I don't know about that one.
I knew you were on the opposite side of that one.
I don't know about that one, man. He's got more receiving yards than Tank. I think he would be just behind Diggs and Nico Collins on this team.
Not tonight.
He's had over 133 yards. He's averaged 133 yards from scrimmage the last 3 weeks. So we'll see. We'll see about that. I don't know how I feel about that. That man got 306 yards receiving this year.
I like two of these bets, Tyler. And I'm talking about bet as a best bet.
I'm sorry I can't put them in for you.
Well, I know that much. You've already made that, established that point. The Texans over half of a point in the first quarter. I do feel like, I mean, hell, all they got to do is get to the 45.
Yeah, Kimey will put through.
Really, another
we'll see what the wind is like.
Yeah, let's make it. Let's say it's the 40. I mean, I like that bet a lot. I mean, all I got to do is hit one field goal in the first quarter. I like that. Tyler's best bet of the day. The best bet of the day is Tank Dell over 4.5 catches.
That one out of all the ones I listed, you think is. As close to that L word.
If that don't hit, I'm firing Bobby Sloat.
Uh-oh, Bobby.
I mean, Tank Dell is by far the best receiver. He's your number one receiver. That's obvious, right?
Yes.
But he is by far the most explosive receiver. So when you talk about, like, manufacturing touches, like, every screen should go to him. Every quick game should go to him. There should be several bootlegs where you misdirection, hard play action, hard run action left, you bootleg. Tank should be shoot flashing out into the flats right now.
You think Jets are thinking that too?
Yeah, but you can't. I'm sure they are, but you can't make it easy on them and park his ass out there like he's Nico, big body Nico or something, and is going to go make you know those kind of plays. Like, this is a game where if Bobby Slowick specifically doesn't manufacture 5 catches for Tank Dell, I'm quitting his ass.
Ooh.
I'm quitting.
That gives me something big to look forward to for tomorrow.
I'm done.
As a side note also, Breece Hall, same amount of catches, 4.5.
Also, side note, Breece Hall last week against the Pats, 1 catch, 9 yards.
Same, 4.5. That's what Vegas. Vegas has Tank Dell and Breece Hall, the same amount of catches.
The number one receiver for the Texans and the running back for the Jets. That's a good point.
I just want to slide out. Yeah, the number. Yeah, there's no Nico. There's no Stephon Diggs.
I mean, Tank better catch 5 screens. You know what I mean? Not. I don't literally mean that. But if it's that, if they make it that difficult to get Tank Dell the football, he better have 5 catches behind the line of scrimmage somehow.
It's reverses.
Something. Well, reverse on a catch. But yes. He better get something.
I get the feel that the Jets are going to try really hard to try to take him away. But we'll. We'll see if they're able
follow to get me to the money, baby.
Get the ball in the Saints. All right, there's some bets there for you. There's some bets there for you for the Texans Jets tonight. Tyler's best bets. He's making some money.
I got to find a way to get this one in.
I'm telling you, man. By the way, Devontae Adams, 4.5.
I like that one too.
Oh, that's a little interesting. A little interesting. All right, coming up, a player. That Clint believes got to be better. And what the hell happened in the 5th inning with the Yankees yesterday? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I see people writing down these best bets, Tyler. See people, you didn't have to go and text people. And tweet to text people on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line about these picks. It's some money out there. They are really daring you. Vegas is. Sometimes if we Devontae Adams, 4.5 catches. What's the catch here? Tank Dell, what's the catch here? 4.5 catches.
There's a lot of them that are a lot of those props, particularly for the Texans, though. Like, you look at C.J. Stroud's number, total passing yards is low as hell. Dalton Schultz catches, which, look, I understand where they're getting them, because when Nico Collins and Diggs have been in the game, these other guys have been afterthoughts. But you flat out don't have a choice. Dalton Schultz, 4.5 catches, over under. Tank, 4.5 catches, under over. Devontae Adams, 4.5 catches, under over. The total yards for Mixon. The Mixon number, even after you were talking about the Jets run defense, which has not been good of late. The Joe Mixon 80-something yards being the total over under there. That's interesting.
Yeah. That Tyler Miller says he's still real optimistic.
Yeah. T-Mill, real deal.
Yeah. It's interesting, yeah. But there's some stuff and some money to potentially be made. All right, Clint. Speaking of CJ, for you, I know you said you watched the All 22 and you saw some things where you're like, some things I kind of missed where you were surprised that CJ made those decisions or missed some of those throws. For you, you're eyeing him a lot in this game.
Yeah, CJ's flat out got to be better, man. At the end of the day, the Texans are who they've shown us they are through eight games. Like, they're not going to protect the quarterback well, right? They may get away with some things. They may have good drives, but overall, big picture, I will be shocked if this isn't one of the worst teams as it pertains to protecting your quarterback for an 18 game or however long the Texans play. I would imagine that the steep climb of C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick having to overcome the pass protection, that is just a, to me, I think it's going to be a year-long situation. There's nothing I see that tells me, boy, this is all of a sudden going to get fixed. And when that's the case, your margin for error is slim to none. Like, if Bobby Slowick dials up some plays, I don't care what you think about Bobby Slowick and whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a head coach or not, I don't, forget about that. There's no doubt about it. Last week against the Colts, that game should not have been as close as it was. Bobby Slowick dialed up plays in the first half. Receivers were open. I'm talking about open by design. I'm not talking because they created a bunch of separation. And C.J. Stroud had time, enough time, and didn't make the throws.
He's wide open, C.J.
There were times where it was cover zero, and you got your best receiver, Steph Diggs, on a slot cover guy, and you can't beat him across his face on a slant, and it is incomplete instead of a first down or a touchdown.
Diggs was open.
Like, he has got to be better this week, because moving forward with this schedule, not just this week, but moving forward this schedule, like, the good decision stuff, the not turning the football over stuff, isn't going to be enough. Right, the continuing to be aggressive and hold the football, the continuing to call 12 pass plays out of your first 16 snaps and 10 out of your last 15 snaps before halftime, like, continuing to do those things at some point in time is going to catch up with the Texans. And I think the remedy to all of it is C.J. Stroud's got to be better. I know it's not a popular thing because he's been good. He's been really good overcoming pressure. He hasn't turned the football over. And when the other offense, when Jordan Love turns the ball over twice and their special teams turns it over once, you're in the football game because the Texans didn't turn it over, give it back to them. But really, C.J. Stroud didn't throw interceptions. So the game is close. Like, I get that. That is a way to keep games close. But when it's all said and done, I just don't believe that moving forward on this schedule – that the thought of just continuing to be aggressive, continuing to throw the ball a ton and call passes a ton, continuing to hold the football and try to drive the ball to the mid-range game and even taking shots, like, that's going to get you beat. That's going to get you beat. When it all boils down to it, when you dial something up and you're getting pressure and Dalton Schultz runs up and turns around and he's 5 yards right there in your face, you got to give him the football. Right, when you get zero pressure and you got your best receiver, even now with no Diggs and no Nico Collins, you get zero pressure and it's man coverage out there. C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell have to find a way to win that. You can't not create separation and the quarterback throw it on the back hip. Like, you can't do it. You've got to be better than that. And C.J.'s shown the ability to be better than that. When Dalton Schultz is screaming across the field, wide ass open, and you sky mail one 10 yards over his head, like, this team just does not have the ability right now to overcome those kind of misses. If you're hitting on all cylinders, maybe down the road in the game, you can miss some of those things. But right now, the margin for error is so razor thin for this offense. And when I say margin of error, I mean, like, the times that your protection does stand up, right? The times that you do have the ability to get somebody open. Like, CJ's got to make those throws. And that's just the pressure that's on him right now with the offense playing the way that they're playing. I'm I've had enough of the aggressive stuff, the aggressive conversation.
How much do you say that's on CJ and on, and the play caller?
I think all of it is. Like, I still think they're hanging on to that mindset.
You think it's both of them?
Well, I can't get in their heads. I can tell you this. I mean, when you watch the quarterback play, there are.
He is definitely holding it a lot longer than he did last year.
DBs are running routes for the wide receivers. He's holding the ball longer than he did before. He's passing up for sure right now stuff. You know, it's just, and I understand it's, he's getting hit a lot. He's under a lot of pressure. The game's moving faster for him because he's getting hit so much, and teams are moving and disguising. So I get it. It's part of it. But the reality of it is, moving forward with this team, my point is, I don't think we're going to snap our fingers and all of a sudden on a short week we're going to have better pass protection. Like, the way in which the Texans can win this ball game and the way in which they can win it and kind of run away with it and, like, put pressure on the Jets and force our, allow our defense to really eat is in the first drive, which, again, the first drive, if you remember correctly, last week ended in a field goal, and it ended the third down and something. I don't know what it was, third and something. Steph Diggs, zero coverage right there, bang the slant, soft coverage, and he gets a free release, and they don't connect on it. Like, you can't, that you just cannot overcome leaving points on the field like that if you're C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick. So I just don't know. The only answer is C.J.'s got to be better, and that's a big ask because he's been good.
And listen, C.J.
Big ask.
C.J. is a bad boy. He's a bad boy. There's a reason why. So he is the number one reason why people felt like, with the additions they have, the Texans got a chance to do something special this year. He is a bad boy.
Needs a timeout.
And he is, I'm not trying. Damn it. You're nasty ass. Oh, it's the take.
What?
He is a hell of a football player. All right. A hell of a football player. One of the top quarterbacks in the league. You know the term I put on players like that. Some of y'all are wanted, as I see it on the text line, Clint, ridiculous take. It's on the line. It's on the offensive coordinator. Clint, in order for CJ to be better, the offensive line has to be better.
They didn't have, he could have been significantly better last week without the offensive line.
And then pot shots. Clint, didn't you throw three picks and a half under pressure? Who gives a rip? We're not even talking about that.
I threw four.
Four to be.
What's your point?
And guess what? Got benched and never touched a field again. We're talking about CJ Stroud, though. Thanks.
But here's the thing. He is a bad.
I did do that in New York.
Yeah, you did. He is, but it was the Giants. He is a bad boy, a great football player. The next step is be a fixer. Fix it. Fix it. Patrick Mahomes, you don't have any tackles. You can get your. Fix it. Everybody's hurt. There are your receivers. Fix it. That's what the great the rules. That's what the great players are doing. Josh Allen. Hey man, you got to be better with the ball. You can't turn the ball over as much. Hey man, we're gonna take away your top receiver. 6-2, 12 touchdowns, one pick. Fix it. They're pressuring your ass. They are. It is not perfect. You are not dealing with what Jared Goff gets to deal with every week. You're not. But you're better than Jared Goff. And you're a big time player. Don't give me the damn excuses for the coordinator. He's not making every one of those decisions to throw the football where it goes to. I guarantee you, at the end against the Green Bay Packers, that is not what Bobby Slowick had in mind for you to throw the ball. I don't care what Bobby says. Bobby's gonna step up for C.J. Stroud. You're a great player. Don't make those decisions. Fix it.
Is Slowick losing it?
Be the fixer. You got that type of talent. So you all can, like, there are, I'm not even going to tell you excuses. There are explanations that are fair. Make Tank better again.
Yeah.
Make Dalton Schultz better. Fix it. That's what the quarterbacks that you all believe he is, and I believe he has the talent to be. Fix it. Real quick, I did want to pass this across before we get out of here. This from Josina Anderson. However you take this, She said, I'm told the Texans explored preliminary trade interest with an NFC East team for the 2022 first-rounder Kenyon Green as at least of 2 weeks ago. There was not an immediate appetite for the deal. But apparently, according to Josina Anderson, in the last 2 weeks, they have been shopping Kenyon Green.
What if I told you?
Tough one to come out today as you're getting your start. I mean,
it's tough when you...
Be ready, Kendrick.
When you bench a guy in the middle of trying to shop him. Doesn't do much for his value, does it?
That's a great point.
All right, what you got coming up in the four?
Man, it's...
I'll run that fast.
Good question. I want to talk about Kenyon a bit, but a little bit more on what we were somewhat just discussing with CJ Stroud. But this is a put up or shut the hell up game for the Texans. I mean, it's a 2-6 football team that's got dysfunction throughout. I mean, this is a put up or shut up. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like what I hear coming out of the organization. But all they got to do is go win a football game, and we can move on. We'll cuss and discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 610.